I want to thank those who are sponsoring this year. Avram Tapir, Le'ili Nishmas, Hisha Chashuva, Sara Miriam, Bas Yisrael Kalevi, Nisham Shehav and Aliyah. And David Adelson, Le'ili Nishmas, Harav Shlomi Yehuda Aryeh, Ben Harav Binyamin, David, who we all love and remember, Nisham Shehav and Aliyah, Shavuli Simcha Nachis, and Chaim Elio Blumenthal, Le'ili Nishmas, Gershon Binyamin, Ben Harav Avram, we should only have simchas together.
Amen.
We're entering into a huge sugya, and if we were to talk about it for the next 10 years, we would only scratch the surface. So to talk about such an inyan for a few days, a few shiurim, a few hours, is nothing more than trying to have some familiarity with the basic nekudas. Years ago, I gave a shiur on this. At that time, there wasn't an opportunity to really develop the inyan the way that I wanted to. The subject of kivrei tzaddikim, of bechlal, what does it mean to daven by the kever of a tzaddik? We're going to learn there are those who are ferociously opposed to the whole inyan of davening by kivrei tzaddikim, opposed to the whole inyan. Then we have another school that has a modified, sort of conservative approach to going to kivrei tzaddikim, and once you're there, what are you allowed to daven for? The question I get all the time is, who am I talking to when I go to the... I'm placing a call to who? When I get to the kever of the tzaddik, who am I talking to? Am I talking to the Borei Olam? Am I talking to the Creator? Am I talking directly to the tzaddikim? Are you allowed to do that? Sounds like there's something, there'll be something else about it, doing that. So who are we talking to when we go to kever tzaddikim? Then we have a distinction between the Mekaymes HaKadoshim, such as in Eretz Yisrael, where we have kivrei tzaddikim, the Maraz Machpelah, Kever Rachel, and so on, where Jews have been davening for thousands of years. And how are we to understand? Is there a difference between kivrei tzaddikim bechlal and those Mekames Kadoshim that we have going back to the time of Tanakh? There are two parts to this entire limud. One is obviously strictly halachic, which we're going to be talking about the first two. Maybe there'll be a third one. We'll go more into the pnimius and the machshava. If I can get into the second one, I'll try, but I doubt it. And like many, many sugyas, like the one we spoke about a few weeks ago, Le'ilui Nishmas, it's very hard to separate sometimes between the halachas and hashkafas. It's very hard to separate. They mingle. The nigla and the nister converge. And if you try to make too clean a separation, you're not going to understand the halacha and you're not going to understand the hashkafa. And these are areas in particular in my life that I've been most fascinated by, this convergence, this integration of Nigla and Esther. And this is one of the most important examples of that. So let's begin. Not only do we have regular groups of the faithful who go to kivrei tzaddikim. In our times, of course, the explosion of Uman is something that we never ever saw in all of history. What's going on at Uman, which obviously is attributed to the special kaychas of that tzaddik who's buried there, the different kaychas of that tzaddik who's there. But we also have a remarkable metzias where there are actual shuls that have been established. Maraz Machpelah has become a Makam Tefillah. It's a Makam Tefillah. It's not a couple of wayfarers stopping off on the way. It's a makom tefila. Kever Rachel is not just on our way down to Bavel, stopping off. Kever Rachel's become a shul. It's become a shul. So to begin with, let's just spend a few minutes. We'll just start, because it's very important, because a number of people asked me this, and almost all that we're going to do talking about is in response to the questions that I've had over time. They speak to people individually, and that's why I wanted to talk about it together. When the 1967 war, when the Six-Day War took place, and the Mekamei Segalim were liberated, a very, very basic question regarding Ma'aras and Machpelah, yesterday's parasha, a very basic question regarding Ma'aras and Machpelah needed to be addressed. You see, over time, the Ma'aras and Machpelah had become something of a mosque. Became a mosque. It was used by the Arabs, and it's still being used as their lahavdil, their makom tefila. So before we even get to the question of davening by Ma'aras Machpelah and Kivrei Tzadikim, there was an issue that had to be addressed. I'm not going to go into all of the problem, just for a few minutes, regarding Ma'aras HaMachpelah B'frat, in particular. Now we have different minhagim, Jews have different minhagim of how do we behave when we're passing a church. They have different customs. There are those who have the custom of running past the church. This is not Bubba Mises, of running past the church. There are those who have the custom of adding, either while they're running, Shakes to Shaktsenu, Visaitis Avenu, Tera Pasik, that is a disgusting place. Hashem should take away all the disgusting things from the world. And then there are those who are Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, who might do all of these together, run, say the Pasuk Shakes to Shaktsenu, and as I was taught, to spit. So, the root of these hanhagis are, as most of the things that we do, are in halacha. The root of it's in halacha. The Rambam Pirush Mishnayis, I didn't focus on everything because that would take months to do, but the Rambam and Pirush Mishnayis, it goes on the Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph from a base, but it's on the first page of the Pirush Mishnayis and Avodah Zarah. The Rambam there writes, Kol ir shel uma shielahem beis tifla, any village or town or city of the nations of the world that has in it a beis tifla, a place of idolatry, a house of idol worship, shu beis avodas kochavim, which is a place of avodas kochavim, below safek also ha'ir also laver b'bekavon. If you don't have to, and we're not going to go into the heterim, you shouldn't even pass through the city. If you don't have to, you should go around. You should circumvent the entire place. If there's a place of avodah zarah in the city, it's best to walk around if you don't have to go through. But kol shekein lo darba, and kol shekein not to live in such a city where there's a temple of idol worship. Kal v'chomer beis avodah zarah atzma, kal v'chomer that you can't go into a place, a building of idolatry, a temple. She'osir kim'at liroso. The Rambam's she'osir kim'at liroso. It's almost osir. You can't. It's osir. But osir kim'at. It's kim'at osir to see it, to look at such a building. But kol shekein lekanis. Certainly, you can't go in. And this is brought down the halacha in Yeridaya in Kufnun Simen Kufnun Sif Aleph. Mitzvah l'esrachek miderech ha'alilam arba amos. So that's what's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's a mitzvah to step away, at least arba amos, to walk away, not to go next to a place of idolatry. But then, of course, the question then became, what is, in modern times, defined as a place of idolatry? The issue regarding Christianity we're not going to go into, that's more black and white. Although there is machlokas, of course, regarding Christianity as well, and the different and the different denominations of Christianity. There's a difference between Catholicism and Protestant, the Catholics and the Protestants. And there's a difference between the Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, and the Western Church. There are differences. But, as I said, most of us are Ashkenazim, here in this room, and most of us have received, one way or the other, those who grew up in traditional homes, have received this avira, or the way of the Rambam, to be Mizrachi, to be Beis Avodah Zarah. And we understand that a church is a Beis Avodah Zarah, even though that's a discussion, Shitas HaTosis, Ramah, and so on, we're not going into. But there is a hergish by Klal Yisrael over the years that Christianity is worthy, has earned the title of Avodah Zarah. Again, with some differences between denominations, but has earned that dubious title of Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, and therefore we're misrachik, we stay away. What's much more complicated is when we're talking about Islam. And we have some Svadish Chavir also. As far as Islam is concerned, it's machlokes v'shoyim and achrayim. Is Islam Avodah Zarah or not? The Sefer Eshkol, Zarishin, brings that Yishmael deha'idna, even if you want to say that originally Islam was not Avodah Zarah, but Yishmael deha'idna, Yishmael of our times, he was already talking in the Middle Ages, Yishmael deha'idna are Oivdei Avodah Zarah. And even though the Eshkol writes, even though they don't consider themselves that, and they'd be very, very insulted, would probably start a jihad or intifada if you would talk to them that way. Nevertheless, the Eshkol says that over time it became Avodah Zarah. He points to a Gemara over there in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph from the base. The Gemara says, Chamisha Batei Avodah Zarah, Kvurim Heim, there are five places that are Kavua of Avodah Zarah. It's going through different places of Avodah Zarah. It says, V'echem Heim, it says, Nashra Ba'aravia. Nashra Ba'aravia, an Arab place of worship. Nashra Ba'aravia. The most famous Makar, by the Rishonim, who holds that Islam is Avodah Zarah, or at least the way that it's observed now, is in the gather of Avodah Zarah, or it would be more accurate to say, must be treated as Avodah Zarah, is the Ran in Sanhedrin. Look inside. The Gemara there is discussing the issue of Mordechai bowing down to Haman, which everybody knows that the Jews in Shushan had a big taina with Mordechai. They were upset with Mordechai. Like, bow down to the guy. Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachve. And in refusing to bow down, he endangered all of the Jews in all 127 Medinas. And this was a very hot halachic topic at that time. Why can't you bow down to the guy? So I'm sure many of you recall the Gemara. There's a question, did he have some sort of Avodah Zarah that he was wearing? What was bothering Mordechai HaYehudi? Why couldn't he bow down? That's what the Gemara is talking about. Why did he refuse? Why was it lo yichrav lo yishtach? So the question is, Haman, a person who was a nevad, was he deified? Was he seen as some sort of a deity? As some sort of a god? Which was very common in the ancient world, was that what was going on over there with Haman? That's what the Gemara is discussing. And the Ran writes over here, Yochel afil nevad kaham, perish. Shishtachava hutra la'odam shekama yischa, lishtachava yislofonav ulechabdai. There are people before whom one is allowed to bow down as a matter of respect, as a matter of covet. A king and so on, to go on the floor and to bow down, it's a way of showing covet. The question is, who was Haman? You're allowed to bow down, to show respect. You're allowed. If it's clear and it's obvious that this person has not made himself into some sort of Elohus, some sort of a deity. But if the bowing down is a bowing down to something for religious value, not out of respect, but because of some sort of a religious significance, even if you don't believe that that individual is mamish, a god, even if you don't believe he's a god, but he is some sort, for some sort of a religious, there's some religious significance in acknowledging his, this individual's godliness, whatever it might be, shenesei Elohim mamish asurhi, still it's also. Ladas Abaye, chayov nala misa. And according to Abaye, in the Gemara, you'd be chayv misa, to bow down in a way of Elohus, if there's some religious nature to this business. according to this view, and the way Mordechai apparently understood, is that bowing down to Haman is the hishtachavaya of Elohus. It's a religious hishtachavaya. It's not a matter of covet. And for this, Mordechai was prepared, Yehari Vayava, to die. He held that he had to die. Vafagav the Kaimel and Kerava. I be don't pass him like Abaye. We pass him like Rava the Potar. Rava holds that you're Potar, you're not Chayv Misa in such a situation where what? Where the person, where there's a tzad of Elohus in the person who presents himself that way. And really, your intention is that it's not because you believe in this God or you believe in anything religious here. It's just that you don't want to die and you don't want to do anything that's going to endanger other Jews. Rava holds that for such a hishtachavaya, for bowing down in such a way, you certainly are not chayiv misa, and if you do it accidentally, b'shogeg, there's no chatas. Mikol makom me'inyin avodah zarah hu. So the Ran says a chiddush. Even according to Rava, who holds that there's no din of yehareg val yaver, that you don't have to die for this, nevertheless, he says there's an inyan of avodah zarah hu. There's still an inyan of avodah zarah, and it's also va'afagav de potter. Even though you'd be potter, you would not be chayv misa if you bow down to such a person. Also la'asis ken. It's also to do that. De avodah zarah, when it comes to avodah zarah, uvechol avizra, and all types or all inyanei avodah zarah, even though it's not classically defined as pure idolatry. Kaimelon v'perek ben sarim mari yaharig v'yavim. The din in the Gemara is that even by an avizrayu, by a secondary level of avodah zarah, so to speak, there's a din of yaharig v'yavim. Now the Gemara, of course, discusses that. Does that mean that at all times it was only at a time of religious persecution and so on? We're not going into it. V'lamadnu mikan. The Ran says what we learn from here is shahakodshim shel kusim, the services of the kusim. There's a little bit of a shiraim of those people now. They're called the Sumerians, I think, the Shomronim. But the kusim in the time of Chazal. So their religious rituals, v'gam hameshuga shel hayishmaelim. That means Muhammad. It was a fond way that the Rishonim referred to him. Hameshuga shel hayishmaelim, the lunatic of the Yishmaelim, is Muhammad. Afal pi she'ein toyin acharem la'asayis nelihus. Even though they don't make Muhammad into a god, they don't. The kid. They themselves see that. They officially declare that that would be idolatry. They're very strong about that. Even though they're not making a mistake to say that they're gods, that Muhammad is a god, or the Kusumite, whatever they do, they're not making into a god. Since their way of prostrating and bowing down by their rituals is a hishtachavoya of Elohus, It's a religiously motivated act. It's not like to a king to show respect or to a chosh of a person. It's an inyan of hishtachavar shel elohus. Din avadazar yeshlehen l'chol davar l'chol davar osir. It's not clear with the gears here. V'isr shel avadazar. And it's an isr of avadazar. Sheloy behidu levad heim hishtachim lefneihem. They're not only showing honor. Hidu here means honor. They're not only honoring Muhammad and whatever else they do. They're not only showing honor. Because why? Shein hidu lemeisa. They're not honoring somebody who is showing honor by bowing down someone who's not alive anymore, somebody who's dead. Ela ke'inyin avoyda shel elohus yavadasa. But rather, the Ran says, it's ke'inyin avoyda shel elohus. It's the type, it's an inyin of idolatry. It's not pure avodah zarah. It's not where they say this is a deity and they have a statue of Muhammad. They don't believe in statues at all. They don't have any statues. But that hishtachavaya, that means of worshipping, of service, of serving, is the hishtachavaya shel elohus. And the Ran holds, it's an inyan of avodah zarah. It's also its avodah zarah. This is the shitas Haran. The Meiri disagrees. In general, the Meiri's views regarding other religions is known to be much more liberal, regarding Christianity also. The Meiri on Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Zayin, again, you don't have it in front of you. The Meiri brings the view that holds that they're not Oyvdei Avodah Zarah, that the Muslims are not Oyvdei Avodah Zarah. The Radbaz was a little bit later. The Radbaz was machriya in a number of his tshuvas that if a person is being threatened, that he's going to be killed unless he converts to the Das, to the religion of Yishmael, if a person is threatened in that way, the Radbaz was machriya that there's a din of Yahar Valyav, that he has to allow himself to get killed. And Ribbevois, Alfi Yisrael have unfortunately, tragically gone through that at different times in history. The Radbaz writes over there in the Tshuva that in all of Eretz Yisrael, the minig is, if a Muslim touches wine, that we don't drink it. That's the minig in all of Eretz Yisrael, that we treat the yayin, the wine of a Muslim, like the wine of Oyvdei Avodah Zarah, or if a Muslim touches our wine, we treat it like Stav Yenim, as an Oyvdei Avodah Zarah who touches wine. In all of Eretz Yisrael, that's the custom. However, he writes that in Egypt, in Mitzrayim, where he was familiar with the Minhagim of Mitzrayim, in Egypt, the Radbaz writes, if there's a hefsed merubah, if there could be potentially a great loss of money, so in Mitzrayim, they're makel. The custom is to be makel if a Muslim touches wine. The custom is to be makel if there's a hefsed merubah, however that's measured, it's not for now, loss of money. There in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, the custom is to be makel, and the reason he gives is because Egypt is asrei the Harambam. Even after the Rambam has passed away, the Rambam is the Rav of Mitzrayim. So what's he referring to? Because the Shitas Rambam in his Tshuvas is very famous. The Shitas Rambam, there are different editions of the Rambam's Tshuvas, but Tav Mem Ches is the most common number that you'll find it listed in his Tshuvas. He holds that the Yishmaelim are not Oyvdei Avodah Zarah. V'she'ein libam elo l'shamayim. The Rambam writes very strongly, even though he despised them. Ein libam elo l'shamayim. Their hearts are only to God. Ein libam elo l'shamayim. V'nichrisa avodah zarah mipiyam. All idolatry has been cut out. They've taken away from their mouths. They don't worship idols at all. That's the Shitas Rambam. So we have a very, very basic machlokes rishonim. We don't have a clear hachra in Shulchan Aruch regarding Islam. It's not clear. The Shitas Rambam is, it's not avodah zarah. He doesn't make any distinctions about how it was in the earlier years and how it became at his time. He doesn't make any distinction. On the other hand, we have a list of Rishonim led by the Ran, with the Hachor of the Radbaz, that there is an inyan at least of Avodah Zarah. If it's not outright of Avodah Zarah, there's an inyan of Avodah Zarah when it comes to Islam. Reb Chaim Palachi, Schusi Yelena, the great Sradish Shaposkin in the Kabbalah, Reb Chaim Palachi writes, even according to the Mekilim, even according to those who are Mekil, and who hold that Islam is not Avodah Zarah, he, Mikol Makom, that's only Legavi, the Goyim themselves, the Muslims themselves. That, as far as they're concerned, each individual Muslim is not an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, and therefore the Mekilim hold that the wine of a Muslim is not Stam Yena. Nevertheless, Rab Chaim Palachi writes, that Mokom Tiflosa, that the place of their services, their mosques, that their mosques, where they bring ktoiris, incense, and other things, they have all kinds of rituals in their mosques, which Reb Chaim Palachi says that in the Muslim mosques, at least where he was, that in the mosques there are all kinds of additions that came in over time under the influence, because of the influence of Avodah Zarah and Christianity, that they have also rituals that are pagan rituals in the mosques. They're not just davening. They have pagan rituals that have become part of their services. I don't know what they do by Shachas Menchemar. I mean, I see that they go on the floor and they daven, but I don't know what goes on inside their places. But the Reb Chaim Palachi says that they have in Yonim that have gotten mixed up into their places with Ketoru, the Mak, their things there, whatever, incense, different things. And therefore he says, Al Kolponim, he says, their places are places of Tumah, and it's forbidden to enter into a mosque. You're not allowed to walk into a mosque. And a Jew that goes there, he says, Hachitzoinim Dveikimbo. The side of Tumah attaches itself when a Jew walks into, God forbid, into one of these places. That's what Chaim Palachi writes. Move the clock forward to one of the great Gedolim of our generation, the Klozim of Rebbe Schussi Yelena. And he was asked about this. He was very, very involved with things in Eretz Yisrael after the Six-Day War. And there were different opinions, there were different great Rabbanim and Poskim that were spoken to about the whole Matz of the Maraseh Machpelah and other places. But the Arabs got themselves in because they always went to where we had Mekomos Kedoshim, they liked to go there too. So the Klozenberger Rebbe has a tshuva where he writes there, Bepshitas, that nowadays, as far as their houses of worship concerned, there's no distinction that's to be made between a church and a mosque. No distinction. Nowadays, there's no distinction between a church and a mosque. And he said that as far as the beliefs of Islam, who believe in one God, he said even among the Christians there are denominations that have rejected all forms of idolatry, and they don't believe in the Father, the Son business. They don't believe in the Trinity and all of these other things. Nevertheless, even though we see by these Christians, there are Christians who believe in one God, and they only consider Jesus to be a prophet. Still, the Klozenberger says that their places of worship are treated as places of Avodah Zarah, even though they're not worshiping. Some Christians are not worshiping Jesus. They don't accept him as a God. Still, their places have a din of Avodah Zarah. And the Klozenberger addresses what the Chaim HaKadosh also wrote in a tshuva, where the Chaim HaKadosh wrote that the Yishmeilim HaKoyfim b'Avodah Zarah u'mechayvim misa lo'evdeha, that the Muslims kill idol worshippers. They destroy idols and they kill idol worshippers. That's one of their favorite pastimes. It's kept them a little bit, it's good to get them a little bit busy. This way they stay out of our, they stay away from us a little bit when they're so busy with the rest of the oilam. So, nevertheless, the Klozenberger writes that what the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh was talking about doesn't apply nowadays, because Bizman Hazeh, he says, we see b'chush, we see before our eyes. that the Ishmaelim, that they feel an affinity to the Christians, the Arabs, the Muslims and the Christians are able to share holy places and they get together, v'chulu v'chulu, and the Klausenberger says there's no distinction. Now, where did this leave the Maris HaMachpelah when we came there and we discovered that it's a place of worship by the Muslims? So it caused a tremendous amount of disagreement and discussion among the poskim. What the status is of now is now, right now, as we speak, where the Muslims are not praying in the same sanctuary anymore. I mean, there might be individuals, the Muslims go there, but they no longer have the same sanctuary, and that has been cleaned out. So they might have a mosque over there, but it's not in the same place where we go to daven. But this has been a process, and there's been fighting, there's been killing, and there have been days, Monday, Tuesday like this, and Friday like that, v'chul v'chul. But I wanted to just raise the topic. It's important to understand that bechlal, the whole inyan of building, of making the Maris HaMachpelah into a makom tefillah, is itself not simple. It was not easy. That doesn't mean we can't go daven there. What we're doing now is according to the instructions of the poskim, and how it's built, and how where we're able to go has been designated and set up by big poskim. That's Aleph regarding Maris HaMachpelah. We didn't have this by Kever Rochel. Kever Rochel was always in our hands, was always a Jewish place. Another place of davening that the Arabs transformed into a place for themselves is Yosef HaTzadik in Shechem. And I'm not going to go into all the Mekomos HaKadoshim, whether there's a mosque or they just pray over there. Maris HaMachpelah was more complicated because they mamish built a mosque over there. So as a shayla, you're allowed to walk into the place. As far as Kivrei Tzaddikim, the general topic that will begin now regarding Kivrei Tzaddikim. Kivrei Tzaddikim. We'll begin with the Drosha of the Ran, the eighth Drosha in Drosha Saran. It's a long and remarkable Drosha, where he speaks about Tzaddikim. That Drosha is on the subject of Tzaddikim. And how we're to understand what a tzaddik is, and how to view the tzaddik. So he compares the tzaddik to the Beis HaMikdash. He compares the tzaddik to the Beis HaMikdash, which the same way we have in the world, a place, a mokam mucha, look in the, on top there on the left side, mokam mucha lochul shefa hanavua v'achachma, Eitz Yisrael Bechlal, and particularly the Beis HaMikdash, is a mokum in the world that is prepared and is ready for the shefa, for the influx of prophecy and chachma and wisdom. Ad shebemtzos ha-mokum ahu ha-yeshefeh al kol Yisrael. That through that mokum ha-mikdash, because of the Beis HaMikdash, the shefa of nevuah, of prophecy, was able to descend upon the entire Jewish community of Eretz Yisrael because of the Mokum, because of that power plant, that headquarters of the Beis HaMikdash. Kein roi sheyu ha-neviyim ha-chacham v'chassidim muchanim l'kabel shef ha-nevuah v'chachma. So just as in the physical world we have a place, the Beis HaMikdash, and Eretz Yisrael, that's a place of Shefa, Nevuah, and Chachma, so too we have human beings, Nevi'im, and Chacham, and Chasidim, who are Muchanim L'Kabel Shefa, Nevuah, and Chachma, who have prepared themselves and made themselves worthy of receiving the Shefa of Nevuah and Chachma. Ad Shebe'emtze'usam Yushpa HaShefa'ahu Al Kol HaMuchanim L'Chol B'nei Dorim. So through the leading Nevi'im and Chachamim of the generation, there are others in that generation who are able to be inspired and affected by the Ashpa of Nevuah and Chacham as it travels through the leading Nevi'im and Chachamim of the generation, who are like a walking Beis HaMikdash. Lekach, gam lo yishtatfu imohem, even if they don't actually have direct contact, even if you're not in direct contact with that Navi, or you're not in direct contact with that particular Chacham, with that Tzaddik. But you're living in the generation at the time where that tzaddik is walking on the earth, where that navi lives in that generation. Shehem ba'atzam ha'migdash ha'makudash. These are very famous words from the Ran. Shehem ba'atzam, the tzaddik and the navi and the chacham are themselves ha'migdash ha'makudash, the sanctified place. So the same way that even if you weren't in the Beis HaMikdash, even if you lived someplace else at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you were affected by the presence of the Beis HaMikdash in the world, so too. Even if you are not connected directly to the Tzaddik, or to the Navi, to the Chacham, but you are affected by the fact that he's in that generation. V'haramban zal, kosa b'soif seder v'haya ekev, and he brings the Ramban in Parshas Ekev, that there's such a thing by great people, that their souls, even while they're alive in this physical world, that their souls, that the souls are bound up with the source of life, with Hashem, even while they're still alive. Because these tzaddikim are themselves the dwelling place of the Shechina. Kasher Ramaz Baal Sefer HaKuzar, as it's alluded to in the Kuzari. That's the Ramban. And the Ramban continues, V'efshe sheniskaven gam lezeh. Maybe the Ramban was also referring to what we're learning. Ulefichach behimotze ha-neviyim ha-chachom ha-chasidim ha-dorisayim. Therefore, when you're living in a generation where there are neviim or chachamim and chasidim, tzaddikim, b'derisayim, yeh shefa shofei aleihem, ruach hakodesh, shefa shofei aleihem, is poured upon them, uveem seusam, and through them, efshe sheyeh shofei al kol hamuchanim b'nei darim, through them, a shefa of spirituality can connect to others of that generation who are working on them, on being Jews who are have Yiras Shamayim, who are Jews who are trying to become better. The kol shekein la'isam ha'miskav maleim, and how much more so those who attach themselves to the neviim and the chacham and the chasidim u'mishtafim imayim and are together with them. And then he says the following, and this is the key. And this will be the opening for what we're going to learn. This is not only during the lifetime of the tzaddik or of the navi, whatever, not only during his lifetime, even after the tzaddik has died, the places where they're buried, ro'i li motze ha-shefa sham b'tzad min ha-tzadim. That shefa, that influx of holiness, of shechina, that was connected to the tzaddik while he was alive, is connected to his grave, not the same way in entirety, not the same way that it was, but b'tzad min ha-tzadim, on some level, not completely, but b'tzad min ha-tzadim. Because their bones, which during their lives were kalim, were vessels, upon which or into which the shefa of ha'eloki, the godly influx, was connected, was poured into while they were alive. There still remains attached to whatever is there in the grave, whatever it is, the luz, that piece of that's still in the grave. Sheyaspik lechayitza b'zeh. That's enough. Meaning there is still something there of that kedusha, the roishim of the kedusha of the shechina that was connected to the tzaddik while he was alive. Obebnei zeh omer Rabbi Seinu Zal. And because of this, Chazal said, "Sheroi lishtateach al kivrei hatzadikim ulespailo sham." then it is a good thing, it's roi, it's a good thing to do, it's proper. L'hishtateach, now we're going to talk about that word, but only at the end. Hishtatchus, l'hishtateach, which literally means to throw yourself upon, to spread out, from the word shatach, to lie down. Shiroi l'hishtateach al kivrei hatzadikim, that it is a good thing, it is proper, to be mishtateach al kivrei hatzadikim, ulespaloshon, and to daven there. Ki atfila b'mokim ahu, tiyer ritsuya yoyser, because davening there is more acceptable. Now remember, the Ran does not speak here about building a shul, or having a regular minyan. He's talking about going to daven, as we have always done, going to daven at Kivrei Tzaddikim. And he says, ki atfila b'mokam ahu tiyer ritsuya yoyser. Davening is more accepted over there. Limotze sham gufais, why? Because in that place, there are bodies buried, ashechal aleihem kvar hashefa eloki, that are already the receptacles of that shefa eloki, of that godly influx, energy. And he goes on, we don't have to really read the bottom thing, but he goes on to talk about how the objects of the tzaddikim are also infused with holiness, like the staff of Moshe Rabbeinu and so on. The things that the tzaddik had in his life. People paid millions of dollars to have the becher of the original or something. To have things that belong to tzaddik. So the Svarim tell us, and it goes back, we see this in the Ran, that the things of a tzaddik, the heftses of a tzaddik, are also infused with that shefa eloki. If it's a very, very, very choshev thing to have the object that belonged to a tzaddik, even the clothing, something that belonged to a tzaddik. This is the Ran. And in footnote 64, this is the edition of the Drush Ran that was published maybe 10 years already from the America's Rav Kook, from Moshe Rav Kook. And he brings in footnote 64 from one of the other Rishonim, from the Ikarim, from Rabbi Yosef Alba, the Sefer Ikarim, who also writes, in footnote 64, and because of this, we go, when there's a tzara, God forbid, when we're in trouble, we run to the Kivrei Tzaddikim. Mitzad ha-roishim shenisha ba'atzomas ahem, because of the roishim, the residue that remains in those bones, me'aruach ha-eloki shahayu mishkan lo, to the ruach ha-eloki, to that ruach ha-eloki that was housed in those bones, that was contained in those bones. Similar to the Kaisel HaMayravi, similar to whatever remains of the Mokam HaMikdash, where Jews run to. Ve'im yoyisim u'chonim izlosin limotze al yodam ha-shef eloki. And therefore, shef eloki, we're closer to that shef eloki when we go to the Kivrei Tzaddikim. K'may shahaya ha'inyin b'mat ha-moshe, the same way that it was with the Moshe Rabbeinu's stick, shim ha-yoyisai eitz yovesh, even though it was a piece of wood, with such a nimsa biad Moshe, and so on, since it was in Moshe Rabbeinu's hands, when the Shef Eloki would come into Moshe Rabbeinu, and he performed miracles with the stick, so that that itself becomes as an independent object, even after the tzaddik is no longer holding it, and the tzaddik is no longer even alive, but the object itself becomes a place of the Shechina, a permanent place for the Shechina. Now, when the Ran refers to the Gemara, the Ran said that we find in the Gemara that Amar Rabbi Seinuzal Shiroi L'Shtateach Al Kivrei Tzaddikim L'Spal Sham, he's referring to the Gemara in Saita Daf Lamed Dalet, Daf Lamed Dalet Omid Beis, which is brought down, if you look in the footnote 63, right underneath, you see 63, brings the Gemara. Milamet Shapirish Kolev Me Atsas Miraglim. When all of the Miraglim, everybody knows, when all of the Miraglim, there was the spies, they were up to doing something they shouldn't have done. Kolev went by himself. Vaholach Vinishtateach Al Kivayavis. So Kalev went to Moraz HaMachpelah. He went to Kivrei Avos, and Amar Lahen, and he said, take note, he spoke to them. He said directly, he said, Avoisai, Bikshu Alei Rachamim. He spoke to the Avos in Moraz HaMachpelah. He spoke to the Avos, and he said, Bikshu Alei Rachamim. I'm asking you, go speak to Hashem and Bikshu Alei Rachamim, seek Rachamim for me, mercy. That I should be saved. I shouldn't fall into this. What's going on with the rest of the Maraglim? This act of Kolev, at a time of his own personal tzara, to run to Kivrei Avos, to go to the Moraz HaMachpelah, is a hanhaga that would continue on through the generations. I'm sure right now many of you are thinking about what we read in the Kinas. The Kinas that we have, many of the Kinas that we have on Tisha B'Av, that we say Tisha B'Av, are based upon the Medrash Eicha. And the Medrash Eicha says that at the time of the Churban, Yirmiyahu HaNavi went to be Mishtateach al Kivrei Avos. That Yirmiyahu HaNavi went to Moraz HaMachpelah. Why? So it says in the Medrash Eicha that Yirmiyahu said, Ki heim yoidim livkais. The Avos know how to cry. Heim yoidim livkais. Chazal tell us that Eliyahu HaNavi also did. That at the time of the Churban, that Eliyahu HaNavi comes and goes. That Eliyahu HaNavi went to Moraz HaMachpelah. He came down, and he went to Moraz HaMachpelah, and he cried, Admosai Avos HaOlam Redumim B'Sheina. Admosai Avos HaOlam. He spoke to the Avos. He said, how much longer, Avos HaOlam, fathers of the world, how much longer are you going to stay asleep? Redumim, what are you sleeping? The Beis HaMikdash is being destroyed. What are you lying there? How come you're not going and screaming and yelling and doing something to help? That Gemara is one of the major, if not the major source for the minig of davening by Kivrei Tzadikim, a kolev. There are many, many other makaris. We're not going to have time to go through all of them. Many places in Chazal where you find Tanoim and Amoraim that went to Kivrei Tzadikim. Spoke to Mason. Even spoke to those who were no longer alive in the Beis HaKvaris. The Kav HaYosha, you don't have it on the page. Again, I only focused on a few things. But the Kav HaYosha, I want to share with you just a sentence from the Kav HaYosha. Also, this goes back to the time of the Kadmonim in Tzfas. The Kav HaYosha writes, he brings the Gemara that we just learned in Saito, with Kalev, and he writes, the Mikan Nispashet HaMinig Yofesh Shabi Yisrael. From here, from what happened with Kalev, we have a beautiful Minig by Jews that's Nispashet that has spread to the Jewish people. Shanachno Holchem Al Kivrei Avos Lispalel B'Yom Shemeis By Ova V'Imo. So it went and extended beyond Kivrei Tzadikim. That the Minig is to go into Davin by the Yahrzeit, to go daven if you can, to go daven by the graves of one's parents. And not only that, the Kav HaYosha says, V'afim hu b'mokam acher bo'isoy pan b'yartzeit. Even if you can't be there by the yartzeit, you can't be at the cemetery where they are by the yartzeit. Where your father or mother, you can't be there. Nevertheless, on the outside, try maybe at least to go to Davin in another cemetery, even if you can't be where your parents are. Go to Davin someplace in a cemetery. Says an interesting thing. When you do that, When you go to daven in the cemetery, by other kvaris, especially by kivet tzaddikim, so it wakes up your parents also in Gan Eden. They become aware of that. Shakadosh Baruch Hu gozar kein lias nafshes tzaddikim mitzuyin al kivres l'tervis Yisrael. Hashem was gozer. So as we see, he's talking more about going afterwards. First, they're going to your parents, but then going to tzaddikim, kivres tzaddikim. He says because Hashem decreed that the nafshes tzaddikim mitzuyin al hakvaros l'tervis Yisrael. That Hashem decreed that something of the soul of the tzaddik remains by the grave of the tzaddik l'tervas Yisrael. As a toiva to the Jewish people. She yushoymin letchinas utfilas Yisrael, that the tzaddikim who are in the cemetery should be able to hear on that basic level. We'll talk about the different levels of the soul and how they're attached to the above and to Ganeid and to the kever. That the nefoshes of the tzaddikim should hear the tchinis and the tfilas, the davening and the crying of Jews, haboim l'spalel al kvarm. V'kol mi shiyesh lo eze tzar, the Kav Yosher writes, anybody who has some tzar, some anguish, yovoy al kivrei avoysov, should go to his parents, the kivrei avoysov, his parents' graves, or shar kvarm, or other graves, especially tzaddikim. And to announce and to say exactly what you're going through, to describe the tzar that you have. Because when the neshamas, the nefoshes hear Jews, the living Jews, crying about their tzaras, as oilin leruchais shebegan Eden, they ascend to the ruchais, those that are buried there. Rise up to the other ruchos in Gan Eden. Varuchos oilun el chadre Gan Eden, and the ruchos continue on. The souls continue on to the chambers of Gan Eden. Asheshom haneshamas hakadoshes, where the highest and greatest and holiest neshamas are. Ma'orin oyson lios be'ez Yisrael, and the ma'or of these neshamas to pay attention or to somehow connect to Eretz Yisrael. Veshom mishtachnu lufnei kisei hakavod umespalam alachayim. No, that's just all what it's doing here. But these neshamas are then able to make their way to the Kisei HaKavod, to the throne of Hashem's glory, umispalin, and they daven over there for those who are alive. Alachai. Now what we're going to talk about is that there are Rishonim who are bothered by the fact that one needs to go to speak to tzaddikim in order to get to the Kisei HaKavod. Since when is it that a Jew doesn't have a direct hookup? Like, why do you need to stop off somewhere and to get to the whole Chagadiyah that this tzaddik goes and he tells the other tzaddik and the old tzaddikim and then the Ma'ir and then they go to the Kisei HaKavod? Since when is it that a Jew doesn't have a ticket to go straight up to the Kisei HaKavod to have to talk to Hashem as well directly? Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Every single bracha we make is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Malach Rachmim, Achnisu Dimaseinu, Lifnei Melech Misratzi B'Demos. That was a huge machlokes, the morale. We'll talk about it, Mitzvah Shem. Machnis Rachmim. Chassam Sofer didn't say it. He allowed it to be said in Shul. But he himself didn't say it, the Chassam Sofer. What we say in Slichas, Machnis Rachmim, we're talking to the angels. We speak to the angels. We say, "Machnis Rachmim, Hachnisu Dimasen Lufnei Melech Misratzi B'Demos." Bring our tears to the King who is appeased by tears. So again, the morale screaming. What do you have to talk to angels? What are you talking to the angels? Cry, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Cry to Hashem. What do you have to cry? The angels should take your tears, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. You can send them up. It does not have to be overnight. You can go express straight. What do you have to? What do you have with Malachim? So we're going to learn that many make a chilk between a malach and a tzaddik, and the kever of a tzaddik. There's a difference. We'll talk about it. So what we're holding now is that we've seen so far, A, just to review for a second, that there is an issue by the Maris HaMachpela in particular because of the fact that it's a place of Muslim worship that had to be overcome, and things had to be built and structured in such a way to overcome that issue. It's Machlokes Rishonim regarding the status of Islam. B, we learn that the minhag of davening by Kivrei Tzaddikim is ancient. It goes back to Kalev ben Yefuna. We see that very clearly. That it goes back to Kalev ben Yefuna. The inyan is explained by the Ran, that the kever of a tzaddik is a mokum kodesh that contains there the bones of the tzaddik, contains still a hashra of the kedusha, that body was a kli of the shefa of nevuah and the shechina while he was alive and remained so after death. And finally, we learned that this is the source of the minhag, which is a beautiful minhag of Jews, to go daven not only by Kivrei Tzaddikim, but to go to their parents' graves, and b'shas sar, to go daven in the cemetery, even if your parents are not buried there, that the tzaddikim, when you daven in the cemetery, ama'orer, the neshamas, to come to the Kisei HaKavod. But we're left with 1,000 questions, I understand, and that's what we'll continue with Hashem next Sunday morning with part B.